Okay, and we're back. Pretty amazing stuff, as promised. We're talking to Bill Tompkins, and I don't know what to tell you, but this German-looking craft is extraordinary, and it's not the only one. Anything else you want to add to us about this German flying saucer with weapons on it?
Only that there were seven classes of similar shape ones. Some of the upper section was smaller, and the basic design was used for almost everything, and then they had a whole lot of totally different types, even different shapes that the Germans were working on, not just circular. In fact, I think we could go to one of the other illustrations.
Yeah, let me say something first here. If you folks who are online do a Google search, type in solar, S-O-L-A-R, Warden, W-A-R-D-E-N, Solar Warden, and then go to images. And I want you to look at the top row. What you're not able to pull up right now, Bill.
Okay.
In the top row are six images. The middle two are the same photo. One is a little bit light in contrast. One is very, very nice in contrast. What it shows is what appears to be an immense shipbuilding dry dock, possibly at Newport News. It's outdoors. There are overhead walkways, heavy steel constructions above it for lifting things. There's a crane off to the left. But underneath that, between these cranes, which look to be a couple hundred, 300 feet off the ground, these overhead walkways which go all the way across from side to side of this ship bay, this dry dock, is an enormous craft in this dry dock in the mid to latter stages of construction. It is no ship. It's a spaceship.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Huge. If for those of you who can't see it, it looks rather like a long loaf of French bread, but bigger, a little flatter. It's all steel. It's metal. It's lit up. There are lights on it. Lights in it. Strange locations for the lights. You can see construction. You can see people, tiny little people, at the bottom underneath it. If this is a legitimate picture, it only takes one, and if this picture is legitimate, this answers every question you could ask, basically, about what Bill is recounting. Is it true? If this picture is real, it's all true. It looks exactly like a spaceship. Again, I'm at Google search, Solar Warden, images, top row, middle two pictures. Take a look.
Please.
And they're amazing.
Pull it up.
I've got them up. I can't put it up. I'm putting it on the photos page that we have for your visit tonight, and that will be in the photos page.
Yeah, I've seen the picture, and it is real.
My God, if that's real. It's an enormous thing. It's as big as an aircraft carrier.
Yes, it is.
Well, and then there's...
there's no flight deck.
No, of course not. It's round. and then there's another picture of it in an underground facility of another very odd-shaped thing. You mentioned that just a moment ago. This is very strange angles on it. It's bizarre. I don't know what to tell you. Solar Warden. But this one photo, somebody took it and snuck it out of there. And it is staggering in its implication. It looks to be like twilight. There's some sunlight reflecting off the right-hand side of it. You'll see it. Solar Warden, Google search, images, top row, center. Two pictures of this thing. It is no naval ship for ocean navigation. No way. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry to get off on this, but that's stunning. Go ahead, Bill, please.
Okay, it's an excellent picture with all of those in there. Could we maybe pull up the picture that has the aircraft carrier in
color?
Yeah,
we're going to... What do you mean? Hold on. We have five pictures on our photos page, and I'm not sure if we have what you're mentioning right now. Let me go take a look. One, two, three. Okay, is that
the color?
It's gray and black.
These are
cruisers with gun turrets on them. What it looks like.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about that one. Okay, let's talk about that one.
All right.
Everybody else, pull it up.
Are you talking about the USSS Hillenkoetter?
Yeah, but we can do that later. Let's look at those two.
Yeah, there's two of them. That would be picture number one, two, three, four, five in our little array, because I put another picture with German Iron Crosses on it below the first one we were talking about, with a rounded top, not that turret-looking top. Another just stunning picture. Are they real? I don't know, but they're very provocative. Okay, let's go to number one, two, three, four, five. There are two items. They look like battleships from space is what they look like.
Okay, those are essentially cruiser-type spacecraft carriers. They have also a hangar deck for fighter aircraft. And versions of these two are what you would call a landing assault aircraft carrier the Navy uses now. And so these then are used as assault carriers with Marines on board, and they have large hangars underneath inside. But they also operate as attack vehicles, so that if you would look at it as if it was a Marine mission on the Earth, they would have attack capabilities, and they would have the large hangar deck, and so they would have small boats that would take the tanks ashore.
So
you could operate.
These are LSTs?
No, they're not landing ship tanks. These vehicles are what you would class as a Marine aircraft carrier that
okay.
We have, which are called landing assault carriers. And we have a lot of them. And they're 800 feet long, and they operate as Marine attack vehicles. So they have hangar decks in the back.
They operate in the ocean, and they operate in space. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying what you're looking at is the space version of your U.S. Navy landing assault carriers that we have here.
Okay, that's the space version. I got it. All right.
This is a space version.
Uh-huh.
And now, you notice that it's sort of streamlined. And, of course, everybody says we don't need streamlining out in the
space.
Galaxy.
Yeah. You do if you're in water, though. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, but you're not in water either. But if the vehicle is going to have to get into an atmosphere on some planet that their misunderstanding is, they have to have a streamlined shape.
I see. Any planet with an atmosphere would require an aerodynamic capability, and that's what you're showing us. Okay.
That's what you're showing here. And so I had a lot of people say on some of the other configurations that I've got, of different ones that we did design on, they're streamlined. And so this is a space vehicle that would operate like Marines would out there. And many of the missions that we designed for the Navy, for Navy space, in that secret think tank,
mm-hmm.
were landing assault space vehicles
uh-huh.
to land on planets
uh-huh.
that were part of the war.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what you've got here. Two versions of them. They're not copies. They're different. And they have similar weapon systems.
Right. Wow. Those remind me of the models you might have built as a young man. I mean, perfect.
Yeah, I would have loved to buy it. And I do have futuristic models in that collection. It's crazy. That's a really 303 ship models back from 240 years ago in the Navy all the way up to space.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay, could we go to the large tubular shape?
Yes, of course. That would be the USS Hillenkoetter.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Hillenkoetter.
Hillenkoetter. All right, now that looks like a traditional cigar-shaped craft with five domes on the end of it, four around it. Top, bottom, side, and then the end is rounded as well. That's what we'd call, I guess, a cigar, for lack of a better term. What is that we're looking at?
Okay, it's a spacecraft carrier, and when Frank and I were talking about this earlier today, he on his computer blew up the hole in the side of it, the rectangular hole near the middle.
Uh-huh.
And actually, you're looking, if you pull that up, you can see you're in a hangar deck, and you can see four vehicles in there.
Yeah, I see them.
See the lights.
I can barely see them, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's an interesting illustration. And again, you can count, I think there's 9 sections that you can actually see. They've done an excellent illustration there. And you can see the various sections. Now,
excuse me, Bill, are those sections put together like the Germans used to build their submarines in the war?
And that's the way we put together submarines.
Uh-huh.
And it's the way we put together ships.
Okay.
But you got to realize that, this is, you've got almost 1,000-foot long you're playing with here. And so the tubular sections, this is very interesting that they use that one, because it's the least expensive structure that you can come up with. If you look at the old Lockheed 4-engine transports that we had in the earlier days here in this country, the fuselage was streamlined. It was 4-engine and 3 rudders, and it was streamlined. And then you look at the Boeing.
Was that like a Super Constellation, the Lockheed?
Yeah, Super Constellation of Lockheed, okay. Then if you look at the DC-4 that Douglas had, it's a big tube.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't need the thing to be streamlined, but they really didn't check that at Lockheed. And at Douglas, it was the cheapest thing to make. So that philosophy was carried right through to the design you're looking at. And it doesn't have to be streamlined, because this is only operating out in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, this is never going to land.
I understand.
They'd
send the smaller ships down, sure.
Yeah, so it's different than the photographs of the two we just looked at.
Where did this picture come from, Bill? Do you know?
I don't know where this one came from, but this is one of dozens of these that are sometimes quite different in shape, which they're the spacecraft carrier of the space.
Right.
It's like it takes the mission of a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier, and it's nice they showed you the new one down at the bottom of the picture, because you can compare the size.
Wow. Now, well, this reminds me, I see the size comparison. This reminds me of images that a fellow in England was getting. You remember this guy, George? I used to run his stuff all the time, his videos. He had a telescope, and he hooked it up to a video camera. Frank, you probably saw them. Lots of footage of what appeared to be enormous craft in orbit around the Earth. Long, they weren't quite as sleek as the Helen Cutter, but they were big, they were different, they were obviously constructions of some kind that were floating around up there. Do you remember that, George? That guy, I forgot the guy's name. I used to run his footage all the time.
Yes, I've seen some of those.
Yeah, they're very interesting.
Jeff, the illustration is based on the photos that Gary McKinnon was able to see when he hacked into the U.S. Navy database.
This Helen Cutter?
Yes, the Helen Cutter, and it's also based upon a commentary of Corey Good having seen this craft as well.
Okay, this is a concept drawing of what is alleged to be out there flying around. So it's close to real. It's not a photograph. It's not drawn from blueprints. It's drawn from eyewitnesses and what McKinnon apparently downloaded. It's what you say. I didn't know he did that.
McKinnon said that craft cost $25 billion to make. I think it holds something like 400, almost 500 men, and that the weight of it is something like 100,000 tons.
Gary told you that?
Well, that's what's on there, the information that's on there.
Yeah, I can't read it. It's pretty small. Yeah. Now,
you'd have to blow it up.
Yeah, McKinnon, I've always felt, and I'm sure you guys agree, that McKinnon saw a lot more than he let on, and that's why they spent 10 years trying to extradite him to get him over here to kill him. He knew too much. He saw too much when he got into the Pentagon.
He only identified two of the smaller wooden groups. The first one was the Helen Cotter, which was named after the first CIA director, and the second one, which are the white ones, are the LeMay ones. That's part of the LeMay, Curtis LeMay battle group.
Okay, very good. All right, let's go back to Bill Tompkins. So we're looking at the Helen Cutter, and we're looking at the USS Gerald Ford underneath it. Enormous size on this thing. U.S. Solar Warden Space Fleet. Okay, go ahead, Bill, please.
Okay, what I was really interested in the photograph is like the assembly of it, and light-colored round on the front, which is to the right, and then in my picture, it's cut off on the back. But those are not like half of a circle. Those are almost a full circle. All five of them in the bow in the front, and all five of them in the...
Well, they look like golf balls.
They are full balls, almost full balls. They're centered and balanced from a very small area on the inside.
All right.
And now, these are weapons. And the easiest way to say it is that that's their protection for the vehicle, and it's offensive and defensive. There's no other cannons. There's no turrets.
Well, these must be obviously energy weapons of some kind, or they blow themselves out when they shot them.
Yes. And so you have this, but you don't have turrets like you showed that we saw in the other photographs.
So you
can't tell whether it's where the front is and where the back is. And in the photograph, you can see different sections, and there's indentations along the hull.
Yes, yes.
And there's a type of gas or something that's coming out of the center of the vehicle. And you can see it coming out the top and out the bottom.
Right.
In the photograph. And so that's part of another weapon system retention. It's not a broken vehicle. And so you would, this is like a radar command situation, which actually operates at extreme distances out from the vehicle. It's extremely interesting that they've shown this in the photograph, and they showed sort of a light blue radiation fanning out. You can see it best on the bottom. That's fanning out thousands of miles. Mm-hmm. And it's both giving them the information and mm-hmm. then sending it into the weapons that are on the front and the back. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And you can, on the vault, you can, if you look at the front, you can actually see the structure come down, and it's not fully streamlined right in. There's an indentation because the ball is smaller than the structure of the fuselage on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And so that rotates. Completely different kind of weapons that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really nice illustration to show Solar Warden vehicles.
Wow. All right. Well, we've got we have one more to look at. One more picture,
yeah.
And that's the long stiletto-looking like object with what looks like a top. It's got three white rectangles on the top, flat surface of it. Got
yes.
a long, long pointed nose.
Does everybody see that one? And
yeah.
It says U.S. Navy.
Yeah,
okay.
it's gray. We have to pause for a minute, Bill. Hold on, we'll come back. I've added a couple more photos to this group. Those of you online, you can reload and take a look at those as well. Wow. Hold on. Be right back. Special guest, Mr. William Tompkins, and Frank Chile and George Feiler. Okay, now, the photo that I pointed to on Google of what appears to be an enormous ship under construction in a dry dock is also listed on a page called Imaginary Vessels. Now, and it's said to be CGI. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean much of anything. It could be that this is a real photograph, and what's the best way to discredit a real photograph? To call it concept art and hide it away somewhere on the internet where people can find it. They'll say, here it is, it wasn't a real photograph in the first place. I don't have an answer for you. I'll send this out to Frank and George, they can take a look at it, and they'll get it to you, Bill, as well. But the point is, what you described early on, as to how enormous craft were built here on the ground at Newport News and underground in caverns would look something very much like this. This is what it would look like. So I think that's the thing to keep in mind. Whether or not this happens to be CGI or maybe a real picture, I don't know. But I have to go on record with that because that's the way we do things here. So it's a fascinating picture. And that is what it would look like if it were done at a naval shipyard where they build aircraft carriers, or underground with the material and structures taken in there and erected to build things like that. Okay, fair enough, Frank?
Yes, and I want to say that those powers of observation are as extraordinary as ever, Jeff.
What powers?
his ability to perceive things in that illustration. When I was talking to him today, he was seeing things that I had to expand the image to see what he was saying.
I see. Able to see oh, them. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
He's very, very sharp. Keen mind.
Indeed. All right. Let's go back to Bill Tompkins. Bill, again, for our listeners out there, I hate to ask people. I hate to ask people their age. How old are you again?
I'll be 93 the 30th of the month.
That means I'll still be on the air when I'm 93. That's good. That's good. All right. Congratulations on an amazing, amazing contribution and a wonderful life you've had. All right. Let's carry on with our conversation. So we can go back to that craft that we have in photos that you were beginning to talk about. It's got the three white triangles, rectangles on top of what looks like some kind of a wing stabilizer or lift portion of the craft. I don't know what it is.
Okay. What that is, just the front is sort of slightly pointed, but that's a round radar like a U.S. Navy Grumman radar ship.
I got
it. It has a antenna in it that rotates.
Uh-huh.
But there's also the plates for a different purpose that are the rectangular white plates on top. But that's not mounted on a vertical stabilizer. That's just a structure that's holding it up. So there's no ailerons or rudders or anything like that involved in it. It's just a structure holding that up there.
Oh, so that what you're saying is that long triangle with the American flag on it is holding that flat AWACS-looking wing radar assembly on top of it.
Yes. It's a support for it.
I look behind it. I can see behind it with my magnifying glass. Okay.
Okay. I got mine looking at it, too, here. Anyway, it's interesting that you can see that, yeah, this is a Navy vehicle because you can see where the tip of the wings do have a crack in there where they're turned up inside the hangar, if you look close. Particularly the one on the left side. And the four large holes in the front up there and then the eight smaller ones are for two different types of laser weapons. So it's nothing but a beam that's coming out. But there's a certain amount of temperature that gets involved in this, and so they have to have a large opening. And it's just two different weapon systems, and there's no turret in this that would turn to face the target. You turn the vehicle to face the target. And so it's actually, it would be... A two mission in one vehicle type of attack vehicle, which it gives you all of the radar for the whole region, which you have up on the top, but then you got the weapons to use as an attack vehicle. Now I noticed too that they had the up on the top in the front, they've got their sensors there to exactly like you got on the top of the roof of your house and for their power. And so they're picking up the sun's power partially.
So this is now, a spacecraft.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. Why would they force the ship to have to face at a 90-degree right angle whatever it's going after?
Okay, it wouldn't be a... actually, they would face the target. And this would be operating in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, okay. This is an atmospheric craft. Okay.
Yeah, but it would, from its mothership, which it doesn't have the problem of the shape of it. It just lies down, does its attack, and goes back to the mothership.
Where did
but
this...
there's one...
Go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
No. But there's one interesting thing that I guess I don't understand. If you look at the leading edge around, it's black, and down the main side of the structure, the hull, it's black. Now, what that used to be is would be used for getting the ice off the vehicle in the atmosphere. And that's kind of interesting because we use that on a lot of different aircraft for a long time. And that sort of went out. We don't use it anymore. So apparently that is some other purpose. It's not to get the ice off.
What are we looking at here, a photograph or a model?
That's a model.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's a model. Showing you a prototype.
Just want to make sure people understand. Okay. So this would be something that would fly around in our atmosphere as a defensive perimeter weapon system.
Yes, but it also can operate in space.
All right. Well, they need to have a bridge somewhere with it to be able to look out, I would think, but maybe not.
Jeff, that also came off of
the site. No, they don't need the windows.
What's that, Frank?
It came off of the site, Jeff. It came off of a site that showed other Solar Warden vessels and vehicles.
Yeah.
So that came off of that same site.
I see. All right. Okay, very good. All right. Onward, Bill. This is amazing.
Okay,
We've looked at all the photos. I've added a couple to the online grouping. Did you reload that, Frank? If you load that page again, you'll see the other photos I've added. One is another variant of the German flying craft. It's actually a color picture, which is awfully darn good for something that should be 70 years old. So I don't know. They all have the same three. Perimeter globes, we'll call them, on the bottom of the craft, like the Adamski craft. They're round ball on the top, on the bottom. And there's a center one that's a much larger half globe. And the background of this picture, interestingly, is something that looks like it may be a DC-3. Although the tail is chopped off, it's not. It's something similar to a McDonnell DC-3 in the background, which were available in the 40s. So they were the first airliner in the late 30s, actually. Interesting.
Jeff, if I can, can make a comment that Bill had spoken to me about today, the German aircraft, it was 250 feet in diameter. He said the operatives had brought back photographs of a craft that size prior to 39, and their first propulsion systems were electromagnetic, and then they were using anti-gravity.
Uh-huh.
And he said they were using that size craft to go to Mars and also to visit some of the moons of Jupiter. I mean, Bill may want to discuss that in more detail.
All right. Okay with me. Let's go ahead, Bill. Tell us about early trips to off-planet, and then tell us what's on Mars in your view.
Okay, actually, Mars has been a base for a long time, and for many different things, and just normal research, and for the geophysicists. The facilities are like underground, but the planet has artifacts of ancient buildings, just like on the moon.
All over the place.
All over the place. And they keep covering this up in photographs that they release to the public. And anybody with a good telescope can look at it. And so, you know, the astronomers know what's going on.
Well, if you look at my sightings link on my homepage at Rents, click on that. There are a lot of links to Mars images from Curiosity and the earlier rovers that are put up, and the more you look at those pictures, the more you see. It's really quite amazing. All right, Bill, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, there's large construction facilities on Mars with different, that are coming from different aerospace companies. And, facilities, on some of the stars, planets, for instance, North American Aviation, that's a good example. In my book, I go into a block diagram type of, how to document a weapon system for the Air Force and the Navy.
Right.
And it ends up that you see it in the book. But it's interesting that that approach, after I had left Douglas, got fired from Douglas, Dr. Debus got me into North American at a corporate position in engineering. And so I took my block diagram and a lot of other things from Douglas, and I took it to North America. And one of the things I took was that big block diagram. So recently I got a hold of one of the North American block diagrams that Frank sent me, and many of you have seen that, and it's handled both horizontally and vertically.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really is, it's a block diagram of a commercial company that used to build airplanes and built the space vehicle that we use to go out to our satellites. And so they're in the business, but part of North American management wanted to do mining on the on Mars, and then of course mining on other stars, planets, or their moons. And so they put together an excellent program that's in that illustration of all of the block diagrams, which is everything that you have to do in phases. You can't go to the next phase until after you've blocked diagram and answered the past phase. And so they did this on a for a business on Mars to mine materials on Mars and then sell it to other people in the galaxy. And so that's a commercial business, which many of the aerospace companies have gone into in space. So the Mars facility, it's not just the military facilities there, it's commercial for mining of
mm-hmm.
different materials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, sometimes we look at everything as being a military mission, right? But if you go back to my book, in the earlier part, we talked about in the secret think tank of designing programs to commercially operate out in the galaxy and with other star systems people.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of our thrust. We weren't just coming up with a weapon system,
right,
and how to make it and go out and fight people. And I think that these commercial operations, some of them are pretty good. And as we know, some of the management of the ones on Mars did do the wrong thing, and they made the people working there slaves. And they worked as slaves, unfortunately, and this was done out in the galaxy too, by American companies, and they shouldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we're trying to fix. And it's one of the thing on disclosure that we're trying to fix. And but there's all types of facilities on Mars, and just like on the moon, extraterrestrials have all kinds of facilities, and they're different extraterrestrial using that planet for their agendas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to get into that, but I'm just saying, we when we address this subject, we have to also address commercial operations, and some of the people did it wrong, but normally if we can clean up those operations and the slavery, which is also out in the galaxy by other extraterrestrials, and that's good commerce.
Huh.
And some people say, well, gee, North Americans should not have done that. Well, the people that were there, the actual operations of it, was a long ways from the planet.
And right.
Trying to make it less expensive, they did it. Go ahead.
No, it's very interesting. All right. We have about 5 minutes left. Let's bring George on here first. George, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of amazing things. I do know I have seen mining operations on both the Moon and Mars in various photographs. I always thought they were alien, but I guess they could have been ours.
Uh-huh.
And that picture of the, well, what looked like a spaceship is very revealing.
The one I sent you?
Right. That,
yeah, in the dry dock or what looks like it. But then check the link there because it goes back to an alleged source. Now, that could be an easy way to discredit that photograph, too, calling it concept art. I don't know.
Right. It looks awfully real to me, let's put it that way.
Stunning. Yeah, stunning. Agreed.
That a lot of work went into the concept art.
Huge amount of work.
Then.
Huge.
That, well, I have had various indications through the years, you know, studying this field, that something happened right after the Germans lost World War II that we brought back some Nazi UFO type situation. At least I was told that. Let's put it that way. That we brought back some UFOs. So that fits in with what Bill is saying, and it's absolutely fascinating what he has to say. That we have this craft, I'm not sure why we don't want to admit to them, and you know, flew comparatively poor craft like this, and that costs millions of dollars and even billions of dollars, that were just like old Ford cars, you know, that are 50 years old, that our ships and so on,
uh-huh,
obviously are much better than anything that we know that we have. Now, I know we've developed lasers, which he talks about, and we've developed, well, I think we have our own UFOs. There's certainly evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that likely that we were helped by the Nordic people. So there's a lot of situation where you can kind of back up what Bill says.
Okay, Frank?
Oh, boy, Jeff, there's so much more that Bill wants to share. I don't know if he could get in the story about a friend of his that's on Solar Warden on one of the craft that's been rejuvenated, and Bill sees him every once in a while.
All right, tell us about that, Bill, if you would.
Which one is this, Frank?
The fellow that you know who's part of Solar Warden, that you've known him for a long period of time, and they've rejuvenated him?
Okay, I guess I don't remember that one, but
how many people do you know that are on Solar Warden right now? Any?
Personnel on it. You know, we've got three fellows that are... that are really releasing a great deal of information. And my effort is earlier than today on the whole Solar Warden program, because I did the design of these vehicles, and then I was involved in different subcontractors that were supporting Lockheed and Grumman. And so I know many of these people, and I even know Grumman people right here in San Diego, who that's not their job, but they're involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people are very knowledgeable about what's taking place with the missions, and actually the vehicles are very old right now.
Hmm.
And so they have been in all types of updates, new equipment's brought on board, others mm-hmm. taken off,
mm-hmm.
Construction and everything at the Nordic facilities.
And here on Earth or off planet?
Off planet facilities.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so now there's another massive program to replace all eight of those spacecraft carrier battle groups.
Wow.
And that's taking place here, but it's also maybe fully constructed off planet.
Most interesting. Bill, that's our program tonight. We're out of time. Thank you for sharing all that. We'll do it again if you'd like, and keep at it. Just an extraordinary recall. Very provocative data for people to consider and think about, and we really appreciate it. So thank you, Bill.
Thank you for the program and all the support that you've been giving to everybody else on this. It's really important.
All right. You're very welcome. Thank you. And Frank Chile, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, and Major George, thank you, as always, for being here. It's an amazing world out there.
There's a lot going on out there, and
yeah.
More and more information is coming forward.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, thank you, George.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, and thanks to all of you. Another program in the books, and we'll come back tomorrow night and do it again. Hope to have you on board. Take care.